Affordability. Affordability, apparently. It's the news. Affordability, according to me. Affordability. That seems to be the buzzword these days. Affordability. Affordability. That's the new buzzword. It's coming from the left. So I guarantee you that's the word that they have these little groups that they go around. They do these little buzzword, you know, canvassing groups that they're always constantly doing. And this is now the buzzword. The word that they canvassed most, that scored highest on the ranking for the, how do we say this kind of thing, was affordability. So that's what you're hearing everywhere now. You're even hearing some of the Republicans saying it now. It's a word that everybody's talking about. What's affordability? Affordability. Well, here we are. I'll tell you what this podcast is about. This podcast is free. It's as affordable as anything can be, which you get what you pay for when you think about that. But the big word though you're going to hear constantly now is affordability, which means people can't afford things. They have to be able to afford everything. Everything has to be affordable. Housing has to be affordable. I think I'm going to do a tomorrow. I'm going to talk about economic issues. This whole thing with I feel like I really need to do a video with a whiteboard to explain the economics of housing, what's happening in our country with housing. There's a very good example right now. There's a guy named Graham. I can't think of his last name. He's a guy who has went from zero to being a multimillionaire, simply just doing basic saving principles. Cutting funding, making proper investments. He's a young guy. He's in his 30s, probably. Went from zero, from nothing, to having millions of dollars. And good investments, just being wise with his money, maybe being a little bit overboard with the, some people who've been kind of overachievers in that realm maybe have some kind of an underlying issue. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not a psychoanalyst, but sometimes people like that do have some penny pinchers. Some of them have a weird psychosis, and I don't know. I just want to say there's got to be a balance in everything, and I think there's a good balance in having security for your latter days and being able to have the kind of freedom, I guess, financial. I guess Dave Ramsey calls it financial peace, and I think that's financial freedom, financial peace, probably the two very different sides of the same coin. It's financial freedom is one thing. Are you really ever financially free if money is your god, first of all, which I hope it is not for you? Being free from money means not having money, not a slave to money. Financial peace means that you have the ability, you have some wealth, you have the ability to manage money and what you have properly. Now, anything can happen in your life. There's always these things that can happen, and it can all blow away. There's Wayne Watson had a song back in the 80s about being famous, about being popular. I can't remember what the name of it was. Very Few, I think, is the name of the song. And he talks about how you can save up riches and wealth, and it can all blow away. And it's just the way it is. Hopefully, you have your foundations built on other things, and you have some diversity in your life, diversification in your life, that you are not just investing everything in one thing, in the American dollar or the U.S. dollar or in gold or whatever it is that you're investing in, food, storage, whatever it is. Hopefully you have a balance of some things in your life. Not to say that who knows what could happen. It's just there's no guarantee. You might end up with a cup full of chai with just regular creamer in it, just half and half creamer, which is what I have this morning here in my cup. But it is good creamer. It's my creamer from home. It's my Big Train chai creamer. It's a big cup, too. I was able to get the cup. I went down to get a $20 breakfast. And it was a buffet, so I could eat as much as I wanted, which made sure I got my money's worth, because that's important. But it is good chai. So I got some hot water in a rather large to-go cup there. And in my backup cup, I have what's left over of my peach sweet tea, along with a little bit of Chick-fil-A tea. I have it in a Chick-fil-A cup, actually, because it's I had it in my thermos. But now it's in my Chick-fil-A cup because I just poured my what was in my thermos. There's a couple chunks of peaches in there. So I have all that going for me. That's always good. The now tonight I'm gonna be home this evening, hopefully. Tomorrow Thursday and Friday's show, I should say, are all going to be basically hopefully going to be from the home studio and or possibly the worldwide headquarters. I haven't had a show from there for a while. I need to get over there and do that. Now with the little wife unit, wifey, she's going to be home a lot more now for the next few weeks, months. And her job situation has changed, and it's she's going through some transition time there with that kind of thing. So she's going to be home a little bit more for the next little while, and in that process, that enables me to kind of get away a little bit more. Because the dogs can be kind of, I don't have to worry about having the dogs in the house by themselves or taking them along with me and getting in the way and all those kinds of things. So hopefully that'll free me up a little bit to get some things done there at the worldwide headquarters. So there's a list of things that need to be done there. In the meantime, today I'm still in D.C., by the way. I'm in Washington, D.C. this morning. I wish I had a place to post some pictures. I visited the Lincoln Memorial, a rather large statue of Abraham Lincoln there. Very busy day. It was a Monday, and I couldn't believe how busy it was there late in the day. Of course, the sun was setting and it was shining off the Washington Monument. Of course, the Reflection Pond and all that stuff was there. It was very, very interesting. And then I also went to the Air and Space Museum, which is always interesting. I could probably spend all day in that place. There's a lot of things I could read. Happened to be with a work associate with me, and I was kind of along for the ride with that whole thing. I don't think he wanted to sit around and read all the stuff I wanted to read. It's just a lot of fascinating information. Mostly because most of the space stuff happened during my lifetime. I was 1967. I remember very well sitting down, watching a black and white television. In our neighbor's house. We actually went over to our neighbor's house to watch the moon landing. And everything that happened during that time, when was the moon landing? 67, I think, is when the Apollo, whatever it was, that blew up, where the astronauts died in the pressurized oxygen. They were doing routine stuff, and they ended up, it was a catastrophic accident that happened. It's a freak accident with the Velcro. The Velcro that they found out would spontaneously combust at certain pressure with oxygen, and so that was a problem. They were doing a pressure test with pure oxygen in the thing, and the Velcro ignited, or what was called hook and loop fasteners. I'm not exactly sure. I don't have my I don't think I have any Wi-Fi on at the moment. Maybe I do. I'm going to try to do that. I'm going to try again, see what's going on here. Yeah, I don't have internet up right now. I didn't get my internet. Maybe I can do this real quick. I'm not going to pull it up. I don't have enough time for the show. It'll be a fairly short show, and I don't really have time to to do that along with all this. I do have some things I want to play. There's one thing I wanted to play for you here is this thing about with Mondami. But that, of course, he's talking about affordability. I think Mondami probably made this for the affordability word probably was one of his things. He came out with his campaign. It seemed to be successful, and so everybody's using it now. And when it comes to making things affordable, this other guy, his name is Graham. If you get to a chance to watch, there's a channel called Actual Justice Warrior, I think is what his name is. It's the name of the channel. And he it's been within just the last couple of days. He played this clip, this guy that, and he talks about the ridiculousness of this whole thing. what happened to him. I think it was in LA, someplace in California. I think in the LA area. I don't know for sure what part of California he lives in, but he was buying homes or buying apartments and fixing them up and actually making them, you know, not just a cheap kind of renovation, but he's actually putting, you know, tens of thousands of dollars into these apartments to make them, you know, livable and still affordable. Because you have to make them nice enough to get nice enough clients to pay for the rent so that you have the you know, the kind of clientele that can afford the rent that you're going to have to charge because of the regulations in the city. Well, he went through this whole process, had almost everything was almost approved, and then ended up with this one little drain line on an air conditioning system that this one inspector didn't like. It was going to be signed off and ready to go, and he could have started renting it the next day. And it was a Friday afternoon. It was 4:30, and the contractor didn't want to sign off on it because he had to go home. And the contractor was there. The contractor was going to fix it for him. He said, "I can get this fixed in 15 minutes. You can get out of here." He said, "No, he didn't want to do it." He said, "Well, he'll, you know, have to have it re-inspected next week." So he failed the inspection. The next week, a couple weeks went by. They finally got another inspector. He tried to get the same inspector. He couldn't get him. And got a different inspector. Well, that inspector came out, found something else that was wrong. And then it just kept snowballing into this big, long mess. And now it's 6 months later and about $80,000 invested and more into the property because of they found a crack in a drain pipe and found this and that and all the other things that had to happen. Of course, during this time, he cannot rent the property because it's, of course, he lost his main renter that wanted the place. So it's been a mess for him. And of course, he's wondering, you know, is it really worth all this to consider making this an affordable place to live? They're driving people out. But I'm not going to get too far into that. But I'll talk about it tomorrow and next minute, or more this week as the week goes on. In the meantime, I want to talk about this thing with this interview that Mamdani had. You know, this is post the Trump interview. This whole thing with Mamdani and Trump is kind of blowing up in his face. There are some people on the left who are saying, "Yeah, Mamdani owned Trump. He was giving it to him. He was really taking it to him, and he was calling, you know, all this stuff." Mamdani was trying to play the game, and Trump just said, "No, don't. You know, don't." I think that the most canonized moment. I think that kind of canonized everything in the entire greeting was when Mamdani was asked, you know, point blank, you know, "You've called him a fascist in the past. Do you still think he's a fascist and a despot and all this stuff?" And he starts going into this whole little diatribe, trying to explain it all, trying to, you know, do his little jumping jacks and all of his backflips. And Trump just goes over and goes, just call me fat. Just, it's okay. I've been called worse things. Just say it. You've called me that. Just stay to it. Just stick to your word. Just be real. Don't try to dance around it," basically, is what he was saying. I'm paraphrasing. That's not what he said. But that's basically what he did. He patted him on the side. He's kind of, you know, "Hey, look, little boy." To me, it just looked like, you know, you're in the office of the presidency here. Don't play your little fancy smanchy games trying to, you know, your little word crafting thing that you're doing here. Just say what you said. Just own up to it. Because that's the kind of guy Trump is. And Trump would rather deal with those kinds of people. Now, Trump was very gracious to him, I believe. He did, you know, he mentioned a couple of times, because we have different ways of getting there. Because we both want to see affordable housing. We want to see people build afford houses. At the same time, we don't agree with the same way we're going to do it. But, you know, they have a lot of things to work out. And I think that's where you have to go with most leftists. You have to understand the place to approach them is to say, "Look, I want to see everybody. I want to see everybody be able to get help, the health care that they need. I really do. And I think all Republicans want that. We want to see people have clean water. And we're always told, oh, they want dirty water, dirty air, dirty, the whole thing." And you hear that on Sean Hannity every night. He talks about that. But that is really what they think. They make it sound like Republicans don't care about the environment. They don't care about any of this stuff. They don't care about, you know, equality and anything like that. I think when you approach them and you say, "Well, I think, you know, I agree, we need to have clean water. We need to have this and that. But how, you know, how do we get there? Let's you know, we both want those things. We both want people to be, you know, have the health care that they need and be able to afford it. We want people to have the housing that they need. We don't want to see people get into, you know, distressed situation. We want everyone to be profitable, productive, prosperous. And we want that for everyone. The question is, how do we get there? Do we get there by giving it to them, by taking it from the rich and then giving it to the poor? Are people, or do we help people help themselves. This has been something I think that has been a lifelong. In fact, the liberals used to say, we can't just give a man a fish, we have to teach a man a fish. And then, you know, if you feed him, teach a man a fish, you feed him for a lifetime. If you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. It's a very clear principle, and I think it is the principle, I think, that is, in my opinion, it's the principle we need to, it's the principle of the hour, in my opinion, to really go against the socialistic type of thing. I'm going to help you, enable you to help yourself, not to enable you to learn how to just live off the government teat kind of thing. And that's, I think that's where the difference between the socialist and the capitalist is. A true free market, I'll call it a free market, open market ideology. The word capitalism has become a dirty word in many circles. I just kind of careful how I use that, because it is, we have crony capitalism, and I think that the general idea of a capitalist or a corporation is somehow becoming a vilified thing, and I'm not sure exactly why, but it has. Now, I'm getting close to my little timer going off, telling me it's time to start getting ready to go. So I don't have a whole lot more time yet. Just a few more minutes. The interesting thing about all this is this whole thing with Mamdani. Now, this is an interview. I think it was on NBC, and I can't remember this lady's name. I don't know if it's going to be on the bottom of the. It's on Meet the Press. I can't think of this lady's name. She kind of took the place of Chris Wallace, I believe. She's asking him some pretty tough questions, and he goes into the word crafting thing. Now notice, I want you to notice something about the way he answers the questions and the way the questions should be answered. She's asking him very straightforward questions, and this is consistently the way he answers questions like this. You ask him a yes or no question. See how he answers it. Now, here he goes. He's going into this whole thing.
I want to raise $9 billion in new taxes, increasing taxes on the wealthy, on businesses, in order to fund your key policies like universal child care, which you mentioned. You would need Governor Kathy Hochul to be on board with this. You'd need her signature. She has never publicly committed to increasing taxes. I know you just spoke with her. Mr. Mayor-elect, did Governor Hochul commit to you that she will support and sign on to your plan to increase taxes?
The governor and I had a productive conversation, and what we both committed to is working together for the affordability agenda.
Your entire agenda is incredibly ambitious: universal child care, free buses, among other things, lowering rent. Can you deliver on this agenda without Governor Hochul agreeing to increase taxes?
Well, I'm thankful that I'm not going to have to engage in the hypothetical, because I am confident of the two of us working together to deliver on this agenda and ensure that finally, and this goes back to just that portrait of FDR, we look at what politics has been in the past. It has been there in the moments of such transformation, meeting the scale of the crisis. We can do that again.
What is he saying? He's not even answering the question. It's a yes or no question. All he's doing is giving, he's not even giving platitudes here. He's giving you I'm confident we can do it. I'm confident we can do it. Can you do it without her support? I'm confident we can do it. I'm confident we can work together. Oh, okay. Apparently he's got some kind of leverage on her or something. How are you planning this? How is this going to happen? I'll keep going with this. I'm not sure much further. I think this whole thing is, not sure when Brandon, this is courtesy of Brandon Lehman, by the way. We'll see what he has to say here.
Just yes or no, you think she'll raise taxes?
I think she'll work with me to deliver on affordability.
Do you think she'll raise taxes? I think she'll work with me on affordability.
This is make the most sense.
I mean, his agenda
This is exactly what he does all the time. And it's a constant thing with him. Now, I want to point out as well, I think I have another audio thing I want to play here real quick. Can't remember exactly what this is. I think this is a guy. I know what this is. This is a guy. Why am I not able to play this the way I want to play it here? Let's see, where's the? There we go. I'm gonna start at the beginning.
So we're gonna.
Here we go.
leftist worldview.
We are $38 trillion in debt. And a lot of this has to do with the tax cuts that keep getting passed. I think one of the things we have to be honest about is if we're going to help the American people by building up a more robust social welfare state.
Now, this is a guy who's a leftist. He's a guy who is talking about the, he doesn't, obviously doesn't like tax cuts. He's talking about how are we going to do this. This is the main philosophy of this whole thing.
Here we go.
I want to play this again. So this guy's coming across and he's basically saying the, you know, how are we going to have a welfare state? You know, the top, he wants a welfare state. He wants everybody in this welfare state. I'm going to talk more about this later on in the week about how we get to this point of the, where the snowball continues to grow to the point where it gets way beyond affordability. Talking about affordability, the government can't afford it anymore. In other words, we the people can't afford this stuff anymore. Affordability for one person means you're taking it from some. You don't take it from somewhere else to make it affordable for someone else. You don't take it from the productive person to make it affordable for the unproductive person. You make the unproductive person productive, or you help them to learn with to live within their means with what they can produce. The biggest problem we have today is people are walking around with $1,500 cell phones that they buy every year, you know, $300 tennis shoes, buying all kinds of expensive junk food, all on the government dole. And this has just got to stop. We cannot keep doing this. All because, well, that's what everybody has. That's what everybody has to have. It's a necessity. We don't understand the difference between necessities and what we want. Wants and needs are two different things. And there's just, apparently, there's been no explanation of that in the public school system. I'll play the rest of what this guy says, and I'm going to go more into this. I'll go into this more next. In the next few days, I will be talking more about it. But here's
$1 trillion in debt. And a lot of this has to do with the tax cuts that keep getting passed. I think one of the things we have to be honest about is if we're going to help the American
people. He's blaming this on tax cuts. I think the reason we're so far into debt is because we're blaming it, or we should be blaming it on spending. The spending is out of control. Oh, well, you're just a heartless Republican. You're one of those heartless conservatives. No, not at all. I bet I can compare what you're giving and what I'm giving, and I bet you'd be surprised how that might turn out. But I don't want to go there. So let's go to the
social welfare state for things like child care.
Robust social welfare state.
That was the last cost item that I was going to mention that is so expensive for people. Then we're going to have to make sure we have revenue. I don't think Trump's tax cuts should have ever been put in place in the first place, and I certainly didn't support extending them. I think we have to be honest with the American people that we're going to have to get rid of those if we're going to be able to get the debt and deficit under control so we can ensure our programs like Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid.
Translation.
There we go. Now, we need, you know, and of course, this is, I think, one of the famous things that, what was their name? Margaret Thatcher said, I don't know if she actually came up with this or not, and I think Ronald Reagan quoted her many times. The biggest problem with socialism is it works great until you run out of other people's money. You run out of other people's money. That's what happens. I think that's where we are right now. We have this situation where, you know, we're going into debt because we're out of other people's money. We can't take enough in taxes. People are taxed enough already, kind of thing, and they're done with this. And then we see the fraud, waste, and abuse that apparently a particular party doesn't have any interest in stopping, because most of the fraud, waste, and abuse goes into their coffers eventually. It is their fund, it is the trickle, the stream that they dip their toe into as it runs past them. Same thing with the health insurance subsidies that go directly to the insurance companies, not to the actual people who need the subsidies. So it's a free check written to the insurance companies. So it's just out of control, ridiculous. So we have all that going on, everything happening in that respect. So we get back to this little word called affordability, and how they're using this to kind of push the social agenda. Now you're going to see how these things start to connect after a while. This is some apparently my phone thought I was talking to it. So here's what I found. So I don't know how in the world Siri got anything out of that. Let me make sure she doesn't think I'm talking to her again. Okay, go away. There you are. Yeah, so my timer's going off again, once again. Probably should be cutting this show short. I do need to get myself going. I got to catch a flight here in a little bit and get myself ready to go for that. Once again, folks, I want to thank you for listening to the show. By the way, I want to know what you... I've talked a lot about what I think. I want to hear what you think about what I think. And you can give me a call. Leave a message or a text message. Either one. You can make a comment. You can leave a suggestion as to what you think we'd like to hear me talk about on the show, and then go from there. But there's no sponsor. It's sponsored by me. It's the only person that sponsors this whole thing. And I just appreciate you listening. I appreciate the opportunity to share what's kind of going through my head. It's just me being kind of open about what I think, and that's subject to change. I guess I can, you know, my mind can be changed. It's plausible. It's possible, I guess. 812-379-8778. You can call that number or text that number or go to google.com/voice. google.com/voice. Type that number in, 812-379-8778, and you can leave a message for this old guy. See how it works out. Well, I might play your message on the air. You never know. God bless everybody. Have a great rest of your day. Take care, and I will see you.